Well, I wish I had more time for niceties and welcomes and thank yous, but I don't because I wrote too much, so I'm just going to get right into it. I'd love to talk to you afterwards if I can. Subject of justification, my faith alone is very worthy of debate. I'm happy we're doing this. It strikes at the very core of the gospel. If you're here, I think you believe that or understand that. Denying this doctrine puts one firmly outside of the Christian faith. Oh, I did not turn this on. Middle button. Oh, it's a switch. I'm sorry. Is that better? Do you hear me okay? So denying the doctrine of justification or getting it wrong puts you outside higher... Higher to my mouth or higher in volume? I don't control volume on this, I don't believe. We probably should have done sound check. I'll just probably start over, if you're okay with that, Pat.
We got it.
You got it? You're good?
I got it.
Okay.
Anybody needs an assistant here in the box, raise your hand, I'll bring one to you. Nobody wants to raise their hand.
Okay. All right, so the subject of justification by faith alone, worthy of debate. You understand it? It strikes at the core of the doctrine of the gospel itself. That's why you're here. If you deny this doctrine, it puts you outside of the camp of Orthodox Christianity along with the Roman Catholic Church and the Galatian heretics in the book of Galatia. They were anathematized by the Apostle Paul for denying the doctrine that I am proclaiming tonight. An Orthodox Christian has long recognized that justification is the article of the standing or the falling of the church. A clear and precise declaration on justification is of the utmost importance to maintaining the biblical faith. The first thing that I want to tell you in arguing for it is that good works, I am not arguing for the fact that good works or obedience don't matter. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not advocating for some kind of easy believism where, you know, so-called Christians go on living in sin and they think they're still saved. I'm not saying that. I am affirming the position that the Bible teaches that justification is by faith alone, but we also always say along with that, not by a faith that is alone. That faith is not alone. That is to say, the type of faith that justifies, actual saving faith, spirit-wrought faith in our heart, true saving faith, is a faith that works. So works are always there, but it doesn't justify. No one is saved without good works, but no one is saved by their good works. So works are always produced. They are necessarily produced, but they do not justify. Works are the fruit of salvation. Works are the fruit of salvation. What the church has always meant by that is that all genuine faith, not just any faith, not the kind of empty faith that, you know, it just believes in a set of facts like the demons believe, but true saving faith from the Spirit. Real faith works. It's real faith that is actually produced by the Holy Spirit in our hearts that will inevitably produce good works. Saving faith can't not work. It's not possible for saving faith not to do works. I saw Mr. Donahue cite the obedience of the saints in Hebrews 11, and he said, see, saving faith includes obedience. Well, no, saving faith doesn't include obedience. It leads to obedience. It produces obedience, but we can't collapse faith and works into the same thing so that they are one and the same. The entire book of Galatians is written to distinguish law and gospel, faith and works. Faith is trusting in Jesus. That is how we're justified, and works is doing or obeying the law. They're both important, but they're not the same thing. So we're not making good works insignificant. We are just putting them in their proper place as the result of justification and not the cause or the means of justification. Saying obedience does not cause our justification does not mean obedience is inconsequential. Obedience vindicates our faith is genuine. It proves it. But faith is the sole instrument by which a sinner is justified. The sole instrument that we are placed in union with Christ and receive his righteousness by way of imputation. It is in Christ alone that we obtain forgiveness of sins, and it is by faith alone that we receive Christ. Any other gospel that teaches we must do anything to be justified is a false gospel. It adds our own works to Christ's finished work, and it fundamentally denies salvation by grace alone through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. It adds merit to grace, it adds works to faith, and it adds our own righteousness to that which Jesus provided. Faith is not a work. The biblical writers set faith and works in opposing paths to be saved. Either you trust in Christ to do all the work, or you have to be absolutely perfect in obeying the law in thought, word, and deed. You can be justified by the law only if you are not a lawbreaker. That's the only way the law can justify. But since everyone is a sinner, everyone is therefore a lawbreaker. So the law is incapable of saving us. But what does the scripture say? But what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son to fulfill the law as a man. So he sent his son to use the law to save us. He not only took the curse of the law, fulfilling its negative aspects, that is, you know, if you don't keep the law, you die, that's the curse. He fulfilled that. But he also merited the reward, the eternal life that is earned if you fulfill its positive aspects, if you do this and live. That's what the law demands. God has promised to give all perfect law keepers eternal life. So, Jesus earns that reward by his perfect obedience, by fulfilling the law, then he imputed that righteousness to us through faith and through faith alone. Or as Paul says in Romans 4:5, but to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness. Now, he's not saying we refuse to do good works. No. The one who does not work in that verse is the one who's not doing the law to fulfill conditions. They're not working to be saved. That's what it means. To be saved, all they have to do is believe in Jesus. Their faith will be credited as righteousness. It is Jesus who justifies the ungodly. We believe that. That is justification by faith alone apart from works. By faith we are credited or counted or reckoned as righteous. All various translations that are good and worthy. Because faith puts us in Christ and his righteousness counts as our own. The word Paul uses for imputation or crediting is actually an accounting term. So we can use that same accounting analogy that I used last night if you were there. If a woman is millions of dollars in debt, she's never going to be able to pay it. But then she marries a multi-billionaire, she is all of a sudden no longer in debt. But not is she not in debt, she's also positively rich beyond anything she could possibly imagine, anything that she could ever do. So we begin to see what justification is. It is the legal idea that God uses to describe our peace with him. Justification is not only having our sins paid for before God, so that there's no legal demand for us to be punished any longer. We cannot be justly punished because we have no sin. But it's also being righteous in God's sight, positively righteous by law-keeping obedience. We are therefore owed eternal life. Justice demands we're owed eternal life. This is why God is just to give us eternal life to those that are justified. It is just to give us eternal life. Now, obviously, we have two impossible barriers to being justified before God. If that's what justification is, we have two things preventing us from inheriting eternal life. One, we have the presence of sin and guilt in our life. We are not righteous. Sorry, we are sinners. We have sin and guilt. That is why we sin. So we deserve condemnation. That's our first barrier. Second barrier, the absence of righteousness. We do not have righteousness. We are not righteous. And that is only possible through perfect law keeping. That's how you're righteous before God. Perfect law keeping, which we can't do. We can't be righteous. Perfectly righteous, the way the law demands. Notice, we have something that we need to get rid of. We have it, we got to get rid of it. That's the sin and the guilt. And then there's something that we're missing that needs to be provided for us. That righteousness has to be provided for us because we can't provide it. Think of it this way. If you have an enormous pack on your back and you need to get through a door, but you need someone to give you the key because the door is locked. It's a locked door. So not only do you need the pack removed off of your back, you need the sin and guilt removed, but you need the key to get into the door, to open the door. That's precisely how Jesus saves us so that we can have peace with God. He removes that pack, that sin and guilt, by atoning for our sins, and then God credits our sin to him so that he can die for it, so he's still just, and then to open the door that can only be unlocked by merit. Since we don't have our own, he provides his own perfect righteousness to us through faith. He credits his righteousness to our account so that we can be reckoned as righteous, so that in him, in Christ, we can be the righteousness of God. And so God can justly give us eternal life. He doesn't abandon justice. We can stand before God as both sinless and righteous in Christ. That's what justification is. Getting rid of the sin, but also being righteous. It's not enough to be merely sinless. That just means you don't deserve condemnation. If you're sinless, you don't deserve condemnation. But you're not owed eternal life for being sinless. You have to be righteous to earn eternal life. You have to be positively righteous, and we are in Christ. So this is how God is both just and the justifier of those that have faith. That's Romans 3:26 through 28. So that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? Our debate tonight? No. But by law, a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. That's justification by faith alone. He is just because he doesn't lower the bar of his holiness to be saved. Only the righteous lawkeepers inherit eternal life, and no sin goes unpunished. He's still just, but he's also the justifier because he sends his son to do all the work for us, to fulfill the whole law. Why do I say all this? Because we are talking about justification. And justification comes from not just Christ's atoning work. That's not all we're trusting Christ for, but also from his work of obedience. So if we include our own works done in righteousness, we are not trusting in Christ alone to be righteous. And we can access those benefits of Christ's work, both aspects of it, both his atoning work and his law-keeping, by faith alone. Who is he the justifier of, according to Romans 26? The one who has faith. That's why Paul says next that all boasting is excluded. No one's works can be added to justification. And that is exactly what Paul says in Romans 3:28. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. One of the most basic understandings to interpreting the Bible rightly is distinguishing between law and gospel. They're always linked. They're always linked, but they are eternally separate categories that perform very different functions in the life of the believer. When the Bible speaks in the indicative, telling us the work that God has done, giving us the promises of God, that is gospel. The gospel tells us that Jesus atoned for our sins. He kept the law. The Spirit works in us by regenerating us and therefore granting us faith and repentance. That is the category of gospel. Law, however, is when the Bible speaks in the imperative. It tells us what to do. The law tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law. The law tells us, get baptized, practice the Lord's Supper, go to church, evangelize the world, the Great Commission. That's law. It tells us what to do. These are the things Christians do. We seek to keep God's law. I know what's coming from Mr. Donahue. He's going to repeat cite text after text of the law, telling Christians what to do. We don't have any disagreement on what Christians are supposed to do. He'll cite all the commands to obey. We're in agreement. You should obey if you're a Christian. But citing these commands proves nothing. Describing Christians as the ones that are believing, the believing ones are the ones that are saved. That, yes, we agree. That is an accurate description of people that are saved. We both agree Christians should obey and do good works. Citing passages that describe believers who are saved as obedience, as obedient, or as doers of the word, that proves nothing to the question that we are debating tonight. We both agree that those that are saved are the ones that obey. But what I am saying is we are not saved by the obedience of the law to the law, and he will say that we are. But the law is not of faith, Galatians 3:12. It is not the gospel. We cannot conflate law with the gospel because the gospel says that we are saved by faith apart from works of the law. Faith is believing the promises of God. And faith in Christ is trusting him to atone for the sins and to merit the eternal life for him. Everyone who is ever saved, including Old Covenant saints, was saved by faith alone. Their faith produced some different works, like circumcision, that we don't have to do because they were under a different positive law, a different covenant. But like Abraham, those Old Covenant saints believed God's promises and it was credited to them as righteousness. We now have new and better promises in the New Covenant, but we don't have a new way of salvation in the sense that, in a certain sense, let me explain that. I'm not saying the Old Covenant taught this way of salvation. The Old Covenant said do this and live, but no one can do it in order to live. Nobody can do that command. So no one was ever saved by the Old Covenant. They were saved while in the Old Covenant, but not by the Old Covenant. Anyone that has ever been saved was saved by the New Covenant because the New Covenant is based on the work of Christ. And no one has ever, ever been saved outside of Christ. The Old Covenant saints had a prospective faith looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, looking forward to the coming of Christ. And then New Covenant saints, we have a retrospective faith. We look back at Christ's coming. But we're looking at the same thing. The object is the same, God's promised Messiah. Everyone that has ever been saved is trusting in the same Messiah. That is how faith alone saves, because it connects to Christ. And Christ is a perfect Savior. So the benefits of the New Covenant are retroactively applied to Old Covenant saints through faith alone. The only way that anyone has ever been saved. The Old Covenant, they couldn't save. They only gave the law to be saved. And that law just showed them their complete inability to keep it. In the hands of sinners, the law only gets broken. It never gets kept. And so, in the Old Covenant, the law only brought condemnation because it was only being broken. That's why Paul says the law is a tutor or a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ in Galatians 3:24. It shows us our need of a sinner, for a Savior, excuse me. It reveals sin to sinners. That's the function of the law. The law is not there for us to pursue salvation through it. That's not why the law is there. It's not a collection of acts that we do to add to our faith in order to be justified. That would be works. Faith is not working. Working is doing the law. Works are obedience to what God has commanded us to do. It is a good thing to do so, but it doesn't save. It doesn't justify us. If you want to be justified that way, then you must be absolutely perfect in law-keeping. James tells us in James 2:10, if you stumble at one point, you're guilty of breaking the whole law, you are a lawbreaker. The law has two categories. Are you a law-keeper or are you a lawbreaker? If you break one, you're in the category of lawkeeper. It's that simple. And according to the law, lawbreakers are justly condemned. So faith does not work. Instead, it rests in Christ to do all the work. It produces works, but it is not work. It rests in Christ to do all the work. It is an empty hand to receive Christ. We still do good works, but we don't do them to be saved. Rather, good works prove we are saved. Jesus himself considered works as proof. He told his disciples in John 15:8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. Yes, do good works, it glorifies the Father. So prove you are my disciples, he said, in doing your good works. Works don't justify us, they prove we are justified. And how can we prove that? Because all faith works. That's how works prove it. All faith works. Real faith works. The type of faith that justifies is a working kind of faith. But the works that come from our faith don't justify, because we are justified by faith apart from the works of the law. I'm going to cite a few more verses. Romans 3:28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. I'm going to say it over and over tonight. Romans 9:32. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. You see the dichotomy. It's either by faith or it's by works. You can't mix the two. Galatians 2:16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even as we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. He says it like three consecutive times in that one verse. I legitimately cannot understand how anyone can hear it so clearly stated and still deny justification is by faith alone. He said it three times in one verse. I mean, I know James 2 is going to come up, and it's got to come up and be dealt with, and we'll deal with it, but it is very easily explained. I'll continue on. Romans 3, 29 and 30. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Or is he the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since indeed God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith is one. We're both justified the same way, by faith. Galatians 3:11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Titus 3:5, I quoted it last night. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, not good deeds. Galatians 3:8, the scriptures. Foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed to you. How is that preaching to Abraham called the gospel? Because the seed from Abraham that was promised, who blessed all the nations, that was Jesus. The object of that promise was the coming Messiah. So in believing in that promise, Abraham was believing in Christ. He didn't know his name was Jesus. He didn't know yet that he was going to be born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem. There's all kinds of prophecy that wasn't given yet that he didn't know. Those things weren't revealed yet. But he was saved by faith alone in trusting in Jesus. Because God said, I'm going to send a Messiah, a seed of the woman that's going to crush the head of the serpent, and it's Jesus. And we find out more and more about him. He was saved by faith alone. Keep that fact in mind when we get to James 2 and talk about Abraham's justification. We'll get there eventually.